and selected questions will be asked here. So, item number 20, from the burdening of the heart before entering Ibul. What is swallowing the maor, not being able to work? When man starts entering the work, he starts with faith. But the body resists this work. And then comes a state of exertion that he has to overcome his body and do all kinds of tricks. As our sages said, you shall make your way with trickery, because the body does not want to give up on its own benefit, and according to the exertion one gives, one begins to feel that he is powerless to do anything because of his part, and in his opinion, he has done everything within his power. And after the exertion, he came to know that only the Creator can help, and that is not within one's own power. Then the prayer is truly from the depth of the heart, for one has a clear knowledge that none can help him but the Creator. However, even after coming to know that the Creator can help him and to understand that the prayer is only true solution, the body comes and has him understand that. But you see how many prayers you've offered already and did not receive any answer from above. So why pray to the Creator for help when you can see that you do not receive any help from above? Thus, one cannot pray, one needs to overcome again, namely to grow strong with faith and to believe that the Creator indeed hears the prayer of every mouth. No matter if one is talented and possesses good qualities or not, rather, one should overcome and believe above reason, even though his rationale puts forth that he has prayed many times and has yet to receive anything from above. And therefore, how can he go and pray again? And this too must overcome, which means to give exertion above reason and to pray to the Creator for help, overcoming one's reason and pray. Excerpt 19 from Rabash, Volume 2. What is "We have no king but you in the work"? For one to receive a whole thing, one must have a whole lack. Therefore, his lacks, which were concealed in one's body, are disclosed to him from above, time and time again. It follows that one must say that the Creator is favoring him by disclosing his lacks to him, exactly as when he provides him with the filling, for there is no filling without a lack. Thus, we can explain the verse, "I will sing the grace of the graces of the Creator forever. To all generations I will make know thy faithfulness with my mouth." And one should understand the meaning of "I will sing the graces of the Creator forever." And how is it possible to sing to the Creator when one sees that he is full of lacks and that his heart is not whole with the Creator? For one feels that he is distant from the Creator, sometimes even wanting to flee the battle. How can he say that this is the Creator's graces and give song to the Creator for this? One should say that he is in a lowly state, not because he has now become worse, but rather since he wants to correct himself, such that all his actions will be for the sake of the heavens, his true state is disclosed to him from above, namely, that which is within his body. Until now they were unseen and outwardly invisible, but now the Creator has revealed them. And one calls this graces, as the Creator shows him his evil, so that one would know the truth, and be able to plead to the Creator with a true prayer. It follows that on one hand, one sees that he is distant from the Creator, while on the other, one must say that the Creator is near him and taking care of him, showing him his lacks. Hence, one should say that these are graces. As is written, I will sing of the graces of the Creator forever. Meaning that on one hand he is glad and gives song, while on the other he sees that he must repent. Meaning that he must ask the Creator to bring him closer and give him the will to bestow, which is a second nature. From Baal HaSulam, Shamati 19, what is that? That the Creator hates the bodies in the work. If the Creator gives one some luminance from above, the will to receive surrenders and annuls like a candle before the torch, then one has no labor anyhow, since one no longer needs to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven coercively, as an ox to the burden and a donkey to the load, as it is written, those who love the Lord hate evil. It means that the love of God extends only from the place of evil. In other words, to the extent one has hatred for evil, meaning that one sees how the will to receive obstructs one from achieving the completeness of the goal, to that extent one needs to be imparted the love of God. However, if one does not feel that one has evil, one cannot be granted the love of God. This is because he has no need for it, as he already has satisfaction in the work. As we have said, one must not be angry when he has work with the will to receive that it obstructs him in the work. One should certainly be more satisfied if the will to receive had been absent from the body, meaning that it would not bring its questions to man, obstructing him from the work of keeping Torah and Mitzvot. However, one should believe that the obstructions of the will to receive in the work come to him from above. One is given the force to discover the will to receive from above, because there is room for work precisely when the will to receive awakens. Then one has close contact with the Creator to help one turn the will to receive to be in order to bestow. And one should believe that from that extends contentment to the Creator, from one's praying to Him, to draw Him near by Dvikut, called equivalence of form, discerned as the annulment of the will to receive, to be in order to bestow. The Creator says about that, my sons defeated me. That is, I gave you the will to receive, and you ask of me to give you a will to bestow instead.